Okay. I know they played when we were asleep. And they're very fortunate that the Lions are the talk of the town. But last 10 minutes of the show, I do want to talk about what's going on with the Red Wings. We have to have a conversation. Back to the phones we go. The conversation right now is about our Lions. Are you still a doubter, or have they converted you to a believer? Let's go to D first up. D, you're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, guys. I really appreciate you taking my phone call.
Thanks for calling.
Hey, so basically, I want to say last season, I was a pretty hard Lions fan. I'm pretty hard on them. I thought they were going to lose every week, but after seeing what the offense can do this year, I'm very impressed. I name my fantasy team every season. I guess the record of the Lions that I guessed them at 10-7 this year. So obviously they're going to blow that out of the water. So they're exceeding my expectations, which is great. But so my point I wanted to bring up to you guys and ask you, I listened to the Dan Campbell interview, and I'm worried. The reason I'm still skeptical, do I think they can win the Super Bowl this year? Yes, I think they are a great football team. I think they're the best football team in the NFL, actually. Really, I do. But, you know, Dan Campbell is a rah-rah guy, and he brings the best out of all his players. They love to play for him. Brian Berrien in the post-game interview says, we love Coach Campbell. We want to run through a wall for him. But, and I agree that's important, but what does Dan really do? And when I say that, I mean Ben Johnson could be the best offensive coordinator in the entire National Football League. And Aaron Glenn, although his defense hasn't been great his entire time in Detroit, is really showing up, and his defense is top five maybe this year.
D, I think you're going to lose some people with what does Dan Campbell do. I mean,
well, no. So here's my point. Ready? If Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn both leave this offseason, and we replace them with Mark Brunell and Antoine, or I don't know who it could be, Kelvin Shepard or something, who could replace Aaron Glenn. But my point is, if we replace both our coordinators and the Lions win 7 or 8 games next year and don't make the playoffs.
D, why are we doing this right now?
Is the entire fan base going to go, well, it was all Ben Johnson. Dan Campbell didn't do anything. What are we going to do now? Because here's the reason I'm saying it. No matter who you bring in next season, they will not be as good as Ben Johnson because you can't be better than number one. We're the number one scoring offense in the NFL, so whoever you bring in is going to be worse.
Whose offense do you think this is?
What do you mean?
Whose offense do you think this is? Because when Dan took the job, he hired Anthony Lynn as offensive coordinator. Anthony Lynn was not calling or was not operating the way that Dan Campbell thought it should be operated, so he made the change. And then and actually started calling plays himself, and then hired Ben Johnson, promoted him from tight ends coach to offensive coordinator, who brought along Ben Johnson. It's all Dan Campbell. And so I'm not as concerned with you. First of all, I'm not concerned about next year when we are a 9-1 team looking to make a Super Bowl. I don't care right. Who gets the credit. And I don't think Dan does. I don't think Ben does. I don't think anybody really cares who gets the credit. They just want the Super Bowl. But this is all Dan Campbell's offense. Now, Ben Johnson's the one calling the plays on Sundays or whenever they play. But it's all generated from Dan Campbell.
Guys, I'm sorry. That's a bizarre phone call. John's point is right. We're not worried about next offseason and the coaching changes. If you lose both coordinators, yeah, it'll be a question mark. But you have a coach who found those coordinators, who hired them and promoted them in the first place. I'm not sweating next year. Why is that a concern for this year's football team? That Campbell might have a tough time replacing his coordinators after they win the Super Bowl?
I mean, who cares? Who even says Ben Johnson's leaving?
I just say, careful here. You did ask for doubters to call in, so I would
this season.
What I was going to say is, you're going to get delusional people when you ask for doubters.
But what about when Dan Campbell retires from coaching? What will they do?
Are we going to do then?
Right. Let's get to Alex in Madison Heights. What's up, Alex?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Appreciate you too. I just got to say that last call. I just real quick. That's absolutely absurd. That's absolutely absurd, Dan Campbell. Heart and soul of this team. I mean, even to use the heart analogy, you take the heart out, you're literally not alive. You take Dan Campbell out, we're back in the dark ages. Bunch of nonsense. But no, I mean, 100% Lion believer. You know, as soon as we got Dan, as soon as he came in, gave that initial press conference, it, you know, gave me hope. And slowly but surely, same old Lions has been worked out of my system. You know, I'm really excited by the end of season schedule. We got a couple teams with mobile quarterbacks that, you know, I'm really keen on seeing how we're going to perform against. You know, that is the element, the variable that makes me nervous is a mobile quarterback. We're caught in a shootout. You know, that's kind of gives us a little bit of pain, but overall completely full confidence. Dan Campbell's the man.
All right, mobile quarterback.
He's won them over, but yeah, the one question is mobile quarterbacks.
All right.
They're going to face one this week.
Yeah, they'll face one this week, yeah.
And they faced
Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
How'd that go?
They're fine.
Yeah. Geno. I mean, he's not as mobile as some other ones, but he is a guy that can pick up first downs with his feet.
And we dropped the call, but he might point out they had Aiden for those games. They'll face Josh Allen before the regular season's over. There'll be games against mobile quarterbacks. Mobile quarterbacks, here's a spoiler, guys. It's a problem for every football team.
Right.
Mobile quarterbacks are inherently more dangerous. Everybody's going to struggle with them. Everybody. So, yeah,
the question is then, can Aaron Glenn devise a defense to limit mobile quarterbacks? Yeah. And some of it is on him. Some of it's the execution of that game plan. And it's the talent that you have on the field.
Oh, yeah, I do think that might be their kryptonite. You know, the Bills game is going to be a real big tell, I think. But this week, you know, I saw some crazy stat. Like, Anthony Richardson has the worst completion percentage of starting quarterbacks, you know, have started a certain amount. But he has the best on deep balls. Think about that. So he's basically the 50% passer that connects on deep balls. Well, we got the two best safeties maybe in the NFL.
Bring it. And he will turn the ball over. He puts the ball in harm's way. Those safeties have been great at taking it away. Let's get back to the phones. 248-539-9797. The question was, are you still a doubter or have you been converted doubter to believer? And what was that moment for you if you were a skeptic before the season? Because we've taken those phone calls. Let's get to Patrick and Warren. Patrick, you're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
I am an absolute believer. I think since Dan Campbell has came into this franchise, and like the last couple calls have said, those pep talks, I mean, they get you hoping, for sure. And I also wanted to bring up another thing that you guys were talking about before the college football ordeal, and that was the Lions running up the score, all the talk on it. I think the Lions are just keeping their foot on the absolute gas for that NFC Championship game. I think it kind of messed with their mentality a little bit to where they came out this year and they said, you know, when we come out second half, we're not taking the foot off the gas. We're just going to keep it down.
Yeah, it's easy to understand why a team would feel no lead is safe after having one of the most agonizing blown leads, you know, in NFC Championship game history.
Absolutely.
And you can tell the mentality has been seared into this football team never to let their foot off the gas. Now, they still pulled some guys.
Yeah.
But even when they pulled guys, the mentality is you're going to play hard. We're going to challenge stuff that we don't think was called correctly. We're going to go for it on 4th and 2, even with a big lead, because it's what we do. Whether the starters are in or not, whether a quarterback's in or not, we're still going to play hard for 4 quarters. It's been seared into this football team. And I think that's something. They've guarded against a letdown. A lot of teams who overachieve the way the Lions did a year ago, right? Nobody thought they'd be in the NFC title game, have that letdown the very next year. And Campbell got out in front of it when the season ended. He talked about how hard it was going to be.
Oh, yeah.
They pulled no punches. Right. And I think he guarded against the letdown, and he has continued to put this team on the straight and narrow. I mean, I love asking him, what do they still need to be better at? And he's like, I know we scored 7 straight touchdown drives, but, you know, we could have scored sooner on some of those drives. They could have been 4 or 5 play drives instead of 7 or 8 play drives.
Right.
Like, he is not going to let them let off the gas.
No, and that's, it's the drive that Dan Campbell has, and you see it in both coordinators. You see it through the players and development of the players, the way that guys have continued to improve, not just from season to season, but even in season, we're seeing guys play better now than when they started the season off. Like, there's a lot of different things that point to the arrow continuing to go up for this football team.
Ticket Texter says, bless your heart, Lions and Super Bowl are two things that don't belong together. I'll only believe it when I actually see it. Who cares what some nerds in the desert think?
Well, I mean, they're
running a business.
Yeah. And there's a lot of factors go into.
And it's not the only reason we're celebrating our football team is that Vegas has made them the favorites. It's they're 9-1 with the largest point differential in the league.
There's a lot of factors that play into why we are so excited about this team. The main factor is they're 9-1 crushing opponents.
Yeah.
Hey, look, running through the regular season is one thing, and I don't think this is doubting. This is just a realization of what the NFL playoffs is. It comes down to, and when you say it's Super Bowl or bust, you did that before the season.
Yep, I still feel that way.
It comes down to the 60 minutes every week. Get through that 60 minutes, then the next 60 minutes, then the next 60 minutes. Not the total aggregate of an entire season. You just got to get through every 60-minute period every week. And that can be a crapshoot, what trips you up, whatever.
But
against that, they're more than any other team is.
But what has Dan said from the start of the season? We take the end goal, that's the Super Bowl. We work our way back. How do we give ourselves the best advantage? That's the number one seed. So you only have three postseason games, but they're all at home.
Best advantage and the best chance to win, but it's not 100.
Right.
Well, no, it's of course not 100. But I would tell you this stretch recently, post Aiden Hutchinson's injury, has been some of the most encouraging things you could ask for. Because you're right, things aren't going to be perfect in those 60-minute gauntlets in the postseason. You're going to face the best of the best, including in the Super Bowl, and you're probably going to have something go against you. They got down 10-0 on the road in Minnesota, won the football game, right? They played Green Bay outdoor in the elements. Still no Aiden. Won the game by double digits. Right? Houston, on the road. They're better rested. They're flying around. You're down early. Still, five interceptions. Still come back to win that football game. So it's solidified to me that, of course, things are going to go wrong. And, of course, they're going to find a way to win those football games.
I just say, you know, what Greg's saying is, like, this team's been on, there have been some comps to the greatest show on turf.
Yeah.
Okay? Recently. That the greatest show on turf had to beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 11-6 to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Okay. So that there's something, there's going to be a very, very antsy moment, even if they do what we're talking about.
Of course. But we say bring it on.
I mean, there's very few examples, I think, of teams, especially in the parity era, non-cap era, or the cap era of the NFL, where teams truck every team in the playoffs. I know the Patriots in 07, that Charger championship game was not the prettiest of things. And remember, Phil Rivers played through a torn ACL.
We got ticket texts. We got phone calls. We played Nick Wright audio where he said, the Lions aren't the best team. He was doubting them because they have a, quote, civilian at quarterback, not an alien like Mahomes, Allen, or Lamar. So there are doubters out there, but we've seen local people who have been burned come around. Where are you at? Doubter, believer, it's 97.1.
Injury attorney David Femininio is an attorney that I've been talking about for some time. Just listen to some of the results that David and his team have been able to get for injured clients. $3.5 million for one, $5 million for another. $11.5 million for an individual injured client. You need an attorney that's going to fight relentlessly for you and an amazing team that has his back. You can call and speak to David right now by calling 855-65-CRASH, or you can always go to his website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That number again, 855-65-CRASH, or on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com.
That's Greg Jennings at the end. It's Nick Wrong's opinion from First Things First on FS1. Nick Wright was also, by the way, the guy who said the Bears would win the Super Bowl this year for those keeping score at home. But I would file him under the doubter category.
Yes.
You can't win with a civilian at quarterback as opposed to Mahomes, who's leading the league in interceptions. Oops. John, I think this has been an evolution locally, where fans went from doubters and have largely become believers. We've wanted to hear from both groups. If you doubt, what's holding you back? Seriously, guys, what are you waiting for? And if you're a believer, what eventually flipped the switch for you?
Yeah, and when did it happen? Was it just simply you needed to see Jared Goff be good in cold weather at Green Bay?
Yeah. Surviving post-Aiden Hutchinson and thriving in some ways post-Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah. Was it going to Dallas? Even though now that we've learned Dallas is a dumpster fire, but was it going and righting a wrong from last year? Was it, you know, going to Minnesota and showing that you could come from behind and put together a drive by Jared Goff and then have a kicker that could actually kick a game-winning field goal? Same thing with the Packers on the road, the Texans on the road, and not play your best game. In fact, play your worst game, but still come away with a win against the first-place team.
Jack Fox's lack of production is my only concern. Steve in Petoskey.
Yeah, I know. It was Dan's reaction to that was pretty funny.
Anyone doubting the Lions at this point is missing out on the truly enjoyable season this is. Crying out loud, pour yourself a big glass of Honolulu Blue Kool-Aid. Guys, drink up.
Yeah, just sit down and enjoy it.
Just super quick, Goff did appear in a Super Bowl, right?
He did. Yeah. He didn't play well in that Super Bowl.
No, he did not play well in that game. He went against the greatest defensive coach of all time in football history in my mind.
Yeah.
But this Lions team's better than that Rams team, right?
Yes.
Okay, I just don't connect the dots.
Yeah.
Same quarterback, better team. Why would you think they can't win?
Well, that's the key. I mean, if you want to tell me that there are guys who are better quarterbacks than Jared Goff, okay. They aren't on better teams. And we know how important supporting cast is for a quarterback. We've watched it happen. We've watched Jared Goff grow in this offense, on this team, with these guys. And these guys aren't just guys. They're all pros.
And recency bias. Or can he win three games in a row in the postseason? Well, he didn't last year. But to Tom's point, he did at some point. And I don't even know if they were the number one seed that year. In fact, I don't think they were.
John, they won two last year, and it wasn't his fault they lost the third one.
Oh, yes. But my point is, when Nick Wright says that he can't win enough postseason games to even get to a Super Bowl, he already has.
Thank you. Thank you. Ticket Tech says...
it's as simple as that. Yeah, I mean, you can't do it twice. That's what I meant to say.
All right, let's get to Nick in Ann Arbor. Nick, you're on 97.1.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
This is so much fun. Like, how could you not enjoy this, too? They're coming back down below to win. They're so disciplined, guys. So disciplined. And then, like, all the wide receivers are blocking, just the Dan Campbell philosophy. I'm thinking of, like, the 97 team just growing up back then. We had so many Pro Bowlers, but we had Scott Mitchell. And then, like, all those Pro Bowlers, but we couldn't win in Lambeau. And then Mike Allstott would just run all over us. You know, it just shows you just how great this team really is.
Absolutely. It's a great phone call.
Well, it is. And when you think about, okay, they're down 16 at half to the Texans, yet they come back and win. And they overcome the five interceptions the offense had.
I think that one, yeah, that earned people, earned a lot of points with people.
Sure. It's the weather in Green Bay. It's absolutely demolishing a Jacksonville Jaguars team. And you look at, say, the Jaguars. Okay, I get it. But you did what you were supposed to do. What would be more impressive? Were they supposed to win by 60 to make it valid?
Not exactly. Ticket Texter says, Jim, you see why it's you don't want to take your foot off the gas after the NFC title, yet you ask the question, why didn't they take Goff out in the third quarter? Well, I'd be happy to address that. 17 points is not 36 points.
We're doing this again?
We're not doing this again. The next Ticket Texter says, John, I know better. Ticket Texter says, come on, guys, no love to the Mac. Big rivalry game tonight. Central Western, the victory cannon.
It's your game. Are you going?
I considered going. I've been in the past. They're so bad. I will watch. I will root for my team.
They don't have the cost of front seats. They're going to be empty?
Yeah, exactly.
Front row seats?
Yeah, front row seats will be empty. Listen, it's the state of the program. I do hope they'll win. I don't think it'll make a difference in McElwain's future. I will root for my team, as sad as they've been.
Central is 124 in Greg Palm, by the way.
Oh. There's only 131 teams, right?
134.
They're not bottom 10?
No, not even the worst in their own conference, Kent State. It's 0-10.
Yeah, they're absolutely terrible. We'll get to Dan Campbell coming up at 9:35. I do want to just a little bit on the Red Wings today. I know many people were asleep last night. They round up their West Coast swing with another ugly performance. We'll get to it final 10 minutes of the show. First, Heather with the news.
Well, you might have seen this video trending on social media. A championship pickleball match ended in some violence after a sore loser kicked an opponent right in the face. Oh, I mean, it's one of those videos where you make the sound when you watch it. Because I literally watched it. I was like, oh, that did not look good. So the video of the kick was posted online, quickly went viral. And you can see both the kick and kind of what led up to it right after. So the guy who was kicked, his name is Peter. He got like I don't play pickleball. The winning.
Yeah. The winning shot. Yeah.
Right.
Down the line.
So he got that. And then he went over to do the handshake, right? Like, I just won. I'm going to shake the hands. And I don't know if he was like just being too like excited or aggressive, but knocked the paddle out of the opponent's hand.
Instantly bent over.
Yes. But then he went over, like over the net, bent down to go pick it up. And as he was bent over, the opponent was like, screw you. And took that opportunity to kick him, just punted him right in the face. And the guy just went down.
Right.
And he was down for, you know,
sure, he got kicked in the face.
Yeah, a couple seconds there. He sounds like he's going to be fine. He's not pressing charges, but man, didn't look good.
Way to lose your cool.
Yeah,
pickleball.
It looked like it wasn't even like a pickleball, you know, high-stakes league. It's not one of the teams that's owned by a superstar. It was somebody's local club.
Yeah, but still, oof, man. Okay, so Apple appears to have kind of quietly discontinued, a popular accessory, or once popular accessory, that was essential for some iPhone users. Now, I don't have an iPhone, so maybe you guys will know more about this. It's the 3.5-millimeter lightning to headphone jack adapter. So I think it's for like people who have headphones.
Old-school headphones.
Yeah, yes. So that there's no place to put them in. So there's an adapter so you can still use your like corded headphones, because most people now use wireless, right? You got your Bluetooth. Airbuds, your Bluetooth, whatever it is, right? Anyway, they're no longer available on sites in the US, in the UK, like on Apple sites. I think you can still probably find them on like an Amazon or an off-brand maker, right?
They're being phased out,
But they're being phased out. So some people are quite upset. They were first launched in 2016, kind of came along. Like you would get that in the package when you got the upgraded iPhone, but now say goodbye.
Yeah. Time's changing.
Got to update your headphones or whatever else you use, right? The University of Massachusetts fired head coach Don Brown on Monday before he completed his third season leading the program. So he is the former Michigan defensive coordinator. He took over the program at Massachusetts in 2022. He went 6-28 in his second stint with the school. So now the offensive coordinator, Shane Montgomery, will serve as the interim head coach until they find a new permanent coach.
Yeah, didn't go well.
No, it did not go well. Let's see. The first weekend of firearm deer season has come and gone, and more than 61,000 deers have been harvested. That's just with the...
There's no S on the end of that.
What do I say?
Deers.
Deer. Okay. More than 61,000 deer have been harvested. Excuse me.
Get her.
Sorry. Jeez.
Grammar police.
Over 45,000 were bucks, and over 16,000 were does, and officials were really hoping that hunters would choose to take more does this year because of the state's deer population. And they do that, if you get a buck, also try to get a doe. Like that, go one for one so that you're getting more of the female deers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Deer.
Did it again.
Sorry. I made you think about it too much. That was a jerk move.
It's just natural. It's like, it's just natural to put the S on, right?
So if you have more than one goose.
Geese.
Not geese. How many do you do this with other things too, or is it just deer?
Deers. I don't know. It just flows naturally, doesn't it?
I was the jerk at the beginning, but I was going to let it go.
Now I will not let it go. Why was Goff in the third quarter?
How come?
maybe he doesn't. I don't know.
Does is plural, but not deer.
Yeah, they want you to take more does. They say that's right.
Yeah, does, bucks.
They want you to take more doe. Take more buck.
Yes. Well, there's other things. Like you can earn a buck.
It's not part of it.
Yeah.
But to me,
you gotta shoot a doe to get a buck.
So sorry. Anyway, overall this year in total, over 157,000 deer have been killed.
That's a lot of good meat.
Venison season.
Mm-hmm.
That's Heather with the news. Coming up next, Dan Campbell. We wrap the show with a few thoughts, a conversation we need to have about the Red Wings. It's 97.1. Ken Cal, Red Wings lose. Happened while many of us were asleep.
Probably
everybody. But a conversation we need to have nonetheless. And it didn't get a lot of airtime today. Lions are hot. We understand. But John, they went 0 for California. They went out west. They lost all three games. Ducks, Kings, and Sharks. They were outshot in every single game. And in last night, the piece de resistance, they blew three different leads against a bad San Jose Sharks team.
Well, and that's all part of it, right? We talk about some of the power outages at times, but then when you score four goals in two of those three, West Coast trips or West Coast games, but you still can't win.
Well, and again, the goalie play is up and down. The defense is pathetic. The goal scoring is evaporated largely from what they did last year. They're playing as bad as they did at the end of last year, and even worse, I would argue, to begin this season.
Yeah, in the last 11 games, they've lost 8 of them.
Yeah, it's bad. So clearly, people are going to point to Lalonde today. 14 NHL coaches have been replaced in the last year. 14 in the last year. What makes Lalonde so special? Some of those teams were playoff teams that replaced their coaches. So, again, 20 coaches the last 2 years if you want to expand the sample size. And if you say, well, Jim, the talent isn't good enough, well, that's a bigger indictment on Iserman 6 years in.
Well, so I'll ask you this question. You've watched more of it than I have.
Yeah.
You've been to more of it than I have.
Oh, I'm going on Thursday.
Yeah, maybe they're just saving up for Thursday night. That's going to be the coming out party. Does it feel like there is any sense of urgency?
No.
And so, obviously, yeah, they're last in the Eastern Conference, tied for last.
Yeah.
But they're only 3 points back of the last wild card spot. Now, yes, I understand that's way too early to be talking about that, but you don't want to dig yourself a hole that you can't get out of.
It's just a measuring spot,
but
yeah.
It is, but my the case is, okay, you're only three back. Where is the sense of urgency to get better, to play better, to play with a little bit more juice, to win some of those games, to ultimately be in the conversation, whether it's now, it's halfway through the season, or the end of the year? If you don't take care of business now, you won't have that opportunity at the end of the season. Yeah,
the season's slipping away, and you typically get a fired coach bump. Okay, that would be the argument to make the move now as opposed to letting it play out or waiting. Thanksgiving is one of those checkpoints in a hockey season, right? New Year's going into January. There's clearly enough hockey games for this team to wake up and play better. The question is it going to happen with Derek Lalonde as the head coach right now? I mean, it's openly discussed at the games. It's openly discussed in Detroit sports. How long is this guy going to last? I think it's obvious they're not playing hard for him right now.
What do you think the reception will be Thursday night when they take the ice or they announce Lalonde?
I don't think people are going to go out of their way to boo him or anything like that to start the game. But I've been to three games already this season, and they have been booed off the ice to end periods and end the game. If they get down 2, 3, or even 4 goals, seen that, there will be people calling for him to be fired. It will be loud. This hockey fan base got a taste last year, and they feel like they got spit in the face this offseason. Did they do enough? They kept the coach. Did they do enough with the roster? And do I think firing Lalonde instantly makes this team a playoff team? I think that'd be naive. And I think there's deeper questions and issues with the way Steve Yzerman has built this team 6 years in. But it does feel like keeping Lalonde while your season slips away is a reflection of Steve Yzerman's lack of urgency, to use your word.
Right. Well, or just not doing enough.
Yeah.
And this is, there's not much you can do with the roster at this point. You can make some tweaks and you could do, you know, depending on where they are at the trade deadline, sure, there are moves that you can make, but this is the here and now. What is it that's going to create a spark to get them out of this rut?
So Gerard Gallant is a name that doesn't have the baggage of Joel Quenneville, but Gerard Gallant's a coach who, way back in the day, played with Steve Yzerman and has coached an expansion team to the Stanley Cup. He's just available. He's hanging out on his couch. Do you like what's going on right now? They are outshot in 14 of the 18 games this season. They are not competitive. They played some of the worst teams in hockey out west, and they lost all of them. I don't know when the breaking point will be, but it feels like we're getting pretty close.
Yeah, I mean, it sure feels that way. And I just don't know, is it now? Is it 2 weeks from now?
Yeah, I mean,
okay, you get to Thanksgiving. Yeah, what is it?
Yeah, John, I don't know. And again, it's because Yzerman's been so patient and he's been given carte blanche that there really isn't that much pressure. I mean, even today we bring this up, like it's football season. Yeah, people are more interested in the Pistons right now than the Red Wings. You know, you really wonder, where is the heat going to come from? Because it should be internal. Like, we talk about the Lions, and the pressure to win is from guys like Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes and the guys in that locker room. The pressure should be Steve Yzerman internal. He should be disgusted. He should be livid. He should be the one that's driving change in the organization. And yet, here we are.
Well, you also have to think, okay, what's his track record? Now, okay, is the team different than it was back in 22 when he finally made the change from Blashill to Lalonde? Like, because he held on to Blashill for 7 years? 6 years?
Blash was here for a while, yeah.
And so, I mean, like again, he wasn't his hire, but he kept him.
He was very patient.
Was very patient. Now he's being very patient with Lalonde.
Yeah. Gator, we didn't do 4 hours on it. We did a few minutes to close the show. You lose to San Jose, 3 different blown leads in the hockey game. It's just a bad product right now.
Yeah, they're not playing at a high level at this point. I mean, yeah. There's so many holes with it. The penalty kill has been horrible. They don't really score even strength goals all that often.
No.
It's they're getting outshot every single game when they're taking on the team that also gets outshot every single game, and then they get outshot by 14 or whatever it was last night. It's a problem. It's what is it, 18 games in the season at this point.
Outshot 14 times.
What's that?
Outshot 14 times. Yeah.
So it's
like you
I'm not ready to pull the trigger on this yet, but it's getting close. Like if you're telling me is the seat hot for Derek Lalonde, I think the seat is hot. But I mean, Steve Yzerman's got to look at himself in the mirror too, because
agreed.
He's the one that assembled this team, and I thought there would be some bumps in the road getting to where they need to be, and I'm not ready to hang up on it. I do think this team still has potential defensively to be one of the top half teams in the league. But they're not playing like it. They're not getting enough scoring elsewhere. It was nice that they got four goals last night in regulation, yeah. But it wasn't enough to beat San Jose. So it's difficult. Because I don't know I don't think they have an in-house solution right now. Out of house, I mean, everybody's going to say, "Oh, Gerard Gallant."
You know, that's come up.
Some people would say Sergei Fedorov, and, you know, because we want to bring people back. But I think we're getting close to having to have a discussion about it without question.
Well, because you guys aren't fire the coach radio. You guys very rarely, you know, are quick to do that. But I wonder, like,
usually when we go there, the coach gets fired.
Yeah. And I wonder, like, 14 coaches have been replaced in the last year in the NHL. Like, the NHL, more than any other sport, they're quick to replace those guys.
They replace guys that are in first place.
Yeah. The playoff teams.
We've seen that happen.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
So, anyway, what do you guys got coming up today?
I'm struggling with something, and I'm going to ask for Gator's help, but I think I'm not the only one that's having the struggle. And no, I don't need a little blue pill for that.
Did you think that's what we were thinking?
Wow.
I think that's what John was thinking.
I wasn't, but since you brought it up.
So they make stuff for that.
Since you went still there. Cranking.
And I assume it's not math. So we have that.
Not math.
Yes. I'm bad at math too, so you're on your own.
Solutions to Doug's problem. It's coming up. Carson Anderson, 97.1.